There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be.
There'll be no sorrows there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Amen. That was a blessing. Open your Bibles tonight to Luke chapter 6. My message tonight is not a deeply spiritual or theological message, but it's a very practical and important message. And I want you to listen very carefully tonight, because some of the things that I may say may fit you personally. All of the illustrations that I shall use are things that have come from what I've dealt with over the 22 years as pastor of Trinity Baptist Church. And before I get started in the message, I want to ask for your help. A few months ago, we moved our bus workers up into the balcony on Sunday morning, and some of our bus workers that filled the first three rows on the Sunday morning service are now in the balcony, and some of our people that filled the first three rows just backslid. And this morning, two Sundays in a row, I've preached to three empty pews here at the front. Brethren, that ought not be so. I come to a church, and I can understand the front row being vacant as a just as a modest shield or many times used as an altar. But I cannot understand people fighting for the back seats while the front seats are empty, unless they just want to be as far away from God and the preaching as they can be. So let me encourage you. Fill up the front rows. All right? The back rows ought to be for backsliders and latecomers. And you know who you are and where your seat is. So enough said. And thank you. Who was it? Mrs. Graham, that gave me the little cutting out of the funny paper, the comic strip. The preacher was preaching and cell phones started going off all over the place. And man is just one after another. And then he stopped and said, would you please turn off your cell phone, put all of your cell phones on vibrate. And so they did. And then it shows him preaching and his pulpit vibrating across the platform. And I know how the poor guy felt. Now, you would never do that. You turn yours off because you come to church to hear from God, don't you? Have you found your place in Luke chapter 6? We shall begin to read in verse 46. By the way, the title of my message today, tonight, is People Are Funny. People are funny. The Bible says, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Now let's read that again. It is peculiarly funny, not hilariously funny, but peculiarly, carnally funny, that people would have the audacity to call God Lord, Lord, and not do what He says. It's a contradiction. It's also peculiarly funny to me that people call themselves Christians and many of them don't even know that they're saved. Christian is not a term that the Bible gives us the moment we're saved. It's a term that was earned because people lived so Christ-like that even their enemies began to call them Christians, Christ-like. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? It's the Lord asking that question. The Lord means, the word Lord means master, boss. And when we say Lord, we're saying He is my master, I am His servant, He is my boss. And Jesus said, you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I say. Now that's peculiarly odd. It's peculiarly funny to me that a person's thinking would be so twisted. Heavenly Father, help me tonight as I bring this message, and may it turn a light on in our mind at some area that we may be inconsistent in our actions or our thinking as Christians. It ought to be our desire to know You and be like You and glorify and honor You with our lives. I pray that You'd bring us to that place. Paul, after a life of faithful ministry, said, oh, that I might know Him. Help us never to get enough of Jesus. Help us never to come to the place where we take our relationship with Him and His work and His Bible and His church for granted. Let us not be that Christian that says one thing and acts another. Let our lives help us to live our lives faithfully and honestly and honorably so that Christ can be honored and glorified, and weaker people, weaker Christians, or those who are not Christians might be helped and encouraged by our life and our testimony. Lord, fill me and use me tonight in Jesus' name. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Most of you were not here in the 1950s, but I remember as a boy in the 1950s, we used to listen to a radio program called People Are Funny. I think maybe it might have made a little transition to early radio, if you could have seen, or early TV, if you could have seen it through the snow. But the program would create unusual circumstances and capture the reaction of the contestants, and they truly proved people are funny. It was kind of like the old Candid Camera program. But the name of the program was People Are Funny. Without anything left to doubt, they would prove that truly people are funny. Now, I'm a people watcher. I watch people. I think it's the most fascinating thing that I've ever tried to do, is just watch people. You've heard of bird watchers. You've heard of girl watchers. And you've heard of stargazers. Well, I'm a people watcher. People are the funniest of all of God's creation. They don't have to act, try to be funny. They just are peculiarly funny in a lot of the things they do. Now, we're told in Scripture to be peculiar people, zealous of good works. One thing I'm certain of, people are just plain peculiar. And they're funny. As a preacher, I'm very aware of funny people and things happening while at church, especially while the preacher's preaching. One morning, many years ago, I was preaching, and a woman sitting on the second row, right in front of the pulpit, sneezed. She was redheaded. She had on black rim cat eye glasses. Now, that'll tell you it was a number of years ago. And she sneezed. And when she did, she sneezed her glasses off her head. They were going over the front pew, and she went over the pew and caught them in midair and put them back on while I was trying to preach. I watched wives as they try to discreetly keep their husbands awake during the church service. Sometimes they lose their patience and just give them a big jab like that. I see people try to cover their yawns with their hands. And I can't tell you how many times mouths are bigger than hands. I watch children say at church what mama and dad say at home. And I can't help but laugh as mom and dad try to cover it up and make excuses for it. I'm just saying to you, people are funny. It is peculiarly funny that people will call Jesus Lord, Lord, and do not the things that he says. And it was so peculiar and so contrary to the will of God that Jesus asked the question, why do you do it? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Well, these same people are found in our churches today. You know them. And so do I. They are peculiarly foolish. And their actions are foolishly funny. Now I want to share with you some of the peculiarly funny ways of some people. First of all, there are people that are peculiarly funny because they want the privilege of Christian service in the Lord's church, but without any responsibility that goes with the place of service. They want to serve on Sunday. They want to serve at their convenience, but they don't want any rules or any kind of responsibility that goes with it. For instance, there are people right here in Trinity Baptist Church that want to sing specials. They want to teach a class. They want to play an instrument. They want to sing in the choir. They want to be a leader in the church. They want the praise and the recognition and the prestige, but they don't want to practice with the choir. They don't want to rehearse the special music. They don't want to come to teacher's meeting or visit for their Sunday school class. They want the place of leadership, but they don't want to meet the dress standards to give a proper testimony for the cause of Jesus Christ. They want the privilege, but they don't want to follow the rules and the guidelines that all Christian servants from the pastor and deacons on down ought to follow. They want the privilege, but they will not cooperate with those who are trying honestly to serve God. This isn't a Lone Ranger program. This is a church where we work together and cooperate together to accomplish the Lord's will and the Lord's purpose. I'm simply saying to you, people tonight are in a twisted way funny. Funny. They want privilege without responsibility. They want success without sacrifice. They want to lead but refuse to follow. They want to be honored, but are not willing to pay the price to gain the respect of people to be honored. If we follow their line of thinking and action, this local church would have gone out of business years ago. You say, why are there shortages in the bus ministry? Because we have people that want the privilege but don't want to work. They don't want to go out and visit. They don't want to do the job necessary to build a bus route. Why are there needs in teaching responsibilities and Sunday school responsibilities? Because there's people that want the place of and privilege of the class, but they don't want to do anything to build the class or to honor God. The best they can do is teach unfaithfulness and destroy what God's trying to build. Why, if we'd followed their leadership and their want-tos and their ideas, this church would have had an out-of-business sign on it years ago. If we had depended on this kind of peculiar people, nothing would ever be accomplished for God. You know, people are funny, but I'm not stupid. And I'm not going to give over responsibility of our children and our people to people who are selfish and carnal and worldly and want only their way and not willing to follow God's leadership and God's program. There's no place of service and leadership in the Lord's church for these kind of people. They are pew people that need to be taught. They don't need a place of service and leadership with that spirit. Isn't this fun? People are funny. Then there are those in the church that don't want the blessings of God on their life, but they're not willing to meet God's conditions for those blessings. Now, God, please bless me while I compromise your word and rebel against your will and stand against your local church. Just go ahead and ignore all of that and bless me. Well, that's beyond ignorance. That's ignorant. Something's wrong with them. They need help in Terrell or Wichita Falls, where those places are for helping those kind of people. They want to be the tree planted by the rivers spoken of by the psalmist, but they don't want to meet God's condition. He wants the whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But he refuses to walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. They have no delight in the law of the Lord, and they never meditate in his word day or night. Yet they want God to ignore all of that and make them like a tree planted by the rivers of waters whose leaves don't wither, and whatsoever they do shall prosper. No, you can't have one without the other. And we're foolish to think we can. People refuse to do any of the five things that the psalmist said, God said, was necessary for his promise, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But they still want God to prosper them. People are funny. These same people want God to bless them, but they don't want it. They certainly don't want God's curse upon them, but they refuse to tithe and give. Why? They think for the preacher to preach on tithing or giving is a greater sin than their not tithing or giving. People are funny. The warnings and promises of Malachi 3 are ignored. God, forget about the curse. Just make us a delightful nation. Pour out us blessings, the Lord's, that we can't receive us. But don't ask us to tithe or give. People are funny. They want the blessings of God on their life, but not willing to meet God's conditions for those blessings. In the New Testament, they ignore the requirements and still want to claim the promise of Luke 6:38. Give and it shall be given unto you. They want to leave off that giving part. They just want God to give unto them. They don't want to get involved in the giving. They love Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things shall be added. They want all these other things. But leave off that seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness first. People are funny. People are funny. Have you ever wondered why you have all of the doctor's bills? Why you can't ever seem to get ahead? Every time you kind of think you're on your way, you end up going to the hospital to have your tithe removed. Or your car don't work right. It's in the shop all the time. Your washing machine breaks down. Your refrigerator stops freezing. Something's always broken down. Wonder why. Have you ever wondered, and have you ever for a moment thought that maybe because you're not obeying God, that God's keeping his part of the promise to say, you're under a curse? Read Malachi 3. Oh, that's Old Testament. Yes, so are all the Psalms and the Proverbs. So are the passage about the virgin birth of Christ. So is Isaiah 53, Old Testament. Don't give me that phony baloney. We make excuses because we want the blessings without meeting the requirements of the blessings. We want God to ignore his word and compromise his word and bless us anyway. God doesn't work that way. You may. See, some of you tell your children one thing and then do the other. Wait, how many times have you said, if you do that one more time, I'm going to kill you? You've never killed them. And they've done it 150 more times that day. We think that because we don't tell the truth, that God doesn't either, and He'll go ahead and bless us anyway. No, God does not have our nature. We ought to strive to develop the nature of God. Be like Him. But God doesn't have the problem with our sin that we have and that nature that we have. People are funny. People are funny. There are people in our church who want friends and fellowship. They say, well, I'm just looking for some friends in the church. But when they come to church, they find fault with everybody they're around. And they're always angry with someone and holding grudges against someone. I don't know about you, but that's not the kind of people I'm going to make friends with. In fact, I get away from them as much as I would if they had staph infection. I want friends, but they always get to Sunday school 5 minutes late. And they leave during the invitation before it's dismissed. And they tell everyone that our church is not friendly. Well, how would they know? Dear God, the only handshaking for them are those when we have handshaking time in the middle of the service. You'd be surprised the friends you make if you get there 10 minutes early. I mean, there's a foyer full of people standing out in the foyer before Sunday school just waiting for somebody to greet. You'd be surprised how many people you can get acquainted with and what wonderful people there are around this church that stay after church just to fellowship a little while. But you don't know them because you come 5 minutes late and you leave before the last amen. You're never going to know anybody. And any good people are not going to leave early to see you and meet you. Why, a Christian would have to backslide with some people. No wonder they don't have friends. You see, our good people stay and hear what I say about them when they leave. They know that they're not the kind of people we need to fellowship with. The Bible says, tells us that if you want friends, then be a friend. The Bible tells us a friend loves at all times. Read Proverbs 18:24 and Proverbs 17:17. Then there are others in the church that want to be looked upon as spiritual leaders in the church. But they're neither spiritual nor show any form of good leadership. They don't live a spirit-filled life. They don't read their Bible. They don't pray personally or at church. They're not faithful to attend their own church's service. They continue to hold on to the world. Their life is characterized by envy and jealousy, malice and lust, a worldly lifestyle and worldly habits, and still they want to be looked upon as spiritual and as leaders in the church. People are funny. Twisted type of funny. Peculiarly funny. These are not the peculiar people Jesus or Paul is talking about. These are not the people that are to be peculiarly faithful and peculiarly submissive to the Word of God and the will of God. So much so that they resemble Jesus in their lifestyle. A person will never grow in their Christian life until they burn some bridges to the old life and old friends and the world. As long as you keep holding on to your old life and your old friends and that old wicked world you came out of, you're never going to advance in your Christian growth and Christian walk. Once we're saved, we'll never grow in Christ until we crucify this life of flesh and burn those bridges to the old life and the old world. And yet here's the idea. Well, I'm just going to go out there and change them all. You're not going to change them. Witness to them. If they don't get saved, find you new friends. Don't continue to run with them. They'll drag you down. They'll short circuit your spiritual life. They'll drain away the blessing and the joy and the power of God. People are funny. Why? I had a person ask me the other day, "Preacher, do you reckon it's all right if me and my boyfriend just live together until we can save enough money to have a church wedding?" Now you're looking at me like I looked at her. I said, "You know, that's not the smartest question that's ever been asked of me. The answer is simply, no! You don't need a church wedding. You just need to go down right now and get a marriage license and get married, or separate one or the other." People are funny. Kind of stupid too at times. Have I said anything that resembles one of you? Huh? Have you seen yourself anywhere there? It's easy to get to that place. You know, all you've got to do is quit reading your Bible. All you've got to do is start listening to the guys and girls at work. All you've got to do is miss a Sunday or two. And before long, you're thinking like they think. You'll be doing something and saying something that's as foolish as some of the things that I've mentioned here. Here's another one. Many people want to be known as a soul winner and be part of a soul winning church, but they never witness to anybody. They never pass out a tract. They never do anything to try to get a single soul saved. They never go out on soul winning visitation, or they never even learn how to use their Bible to win others. But they'll be the first to complain if their church is not a soul winning church. Hey, who's going to do that soul winning? You say, "That's the preacher's job." I beg to differ. It's not any more my job as a preacher. It's my job as a Christian. And it's your job as a Christian. I've heard people say, "Well, you know, we're shepherds, not sheep." Well, that's stupid. A preacher is both sheep and shepherd. I'm a member of this flock also. I'm also one of his sheep. And I have as much responsibility to bear fruit as any other sheep in here, but you do too. You do too. People are funny. I had a man come to me one time a number of years ago, and here's what he said. He said, "Brother Smith, we want to join this church. Me and my family want an aggressive soul-winning church, a church that will preach the Bible and stand against sin." And that was true until his sin came up. He kind of got upset when his sin came up. And then he began to come every 9 weeks. And he said, "Well, you know, the church has just gotten so large, it's not like it used to be." No, people are funny. Hey, same church, same Bible, same God, same Holy Spirit. Who's changed? You. Well, let me move on. There are those who want to go to heaven, but they've never trusted Jesus as their personal Savior. You would be surprised at the number of people that tell me, "Yes, I want to go to heaven. No, I don't want to go to hell. But no, I'm not going to accept Jesus as my Savior." Surely there's some other way. I've been in this book from cover to cover, and the only thing I've found is one way. And that way is Jesus. It's a plain way. It's a narrow way. It's an available way. But there's only one way. There's no restrictions put on who will come, except you've got to come by faith in Jesus Christ. Oh yes, I want to go to heaven. No, I don't want to go to hell. Oh no, no, I'm not going to accept Jesus. Boy, that's peculiar, isn't it? Why, these same people continue to come to church but say no in their heart to Christ at every invitation. Don't you understand that is rejecting Jesus? That's not just ignoring your need. That is open, blatant rejection of Jesus Christ. Knowing you're lost and you need to be saved, you're in a church service where an invitation is given, and you don't shake your fist at God. You just sit there and do nothing, and in your heart you're saying no. 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 You just well hold up a sign. I am rebelling against the will of God. I am rejecting Jesus as Savior. They want to go to heaven. They don't want to go to hell, but they willfully continue on in their sins instead of accepting Christ. Well, do you know it's impossible for that person to go to heaven as they are? They're going to split hell wide open. See, you've got to make the choice. The door to heaven is too narrow for any person to enter in carrying all their old sins and worldliness with them. We have to come confessing that we're sinners and letting that burden be taken off of us and put on Jesus Christ. That's the reason some people won't get saved, because they don't want to give up their sins. Oh, no, no. I don't want to admit I'm a sinner, but I want to go to heaven. You think, the Bible says, nothing that defileth shall enter into that city. Why, if God let you go to heaven without getting saved, you'd pollute the whole place for everybody else. It'd stop being heaven when you got there. You've got to be born again. People are funny. Eternity is too long and hell is too hot for any individual to continue to say no to the Savior. Our sin and rebellion is a barrier to the glories of heaven and the blessings of God. Still, the only way for any sinner to get to heaven is through the Savior, Jesus Christ. And every sinner must choose Him and come to Him by faith, believing that He alone paid their sin debt and can save them. People are funny. You know, I don't think anyone here would expect for your car to run without gasoline. And you know if you're going to drive your car, it's going to cost you today. It's going to cost plenty. Have you filled up lately? I wouldn't expect to ride on a bus or a train or a plane without paying the fare. I wouldn't expect to eat at a restaurant without paying the bill. And yet people think they can be a good Christian and continue to live in their sin like the unsaved world. They think they can rob God of His tithes and offerings and still be blessed anyway. They think that they can be unfaithful to church and still be a leader in that church. People are funny. Why, people think that they can go to heaven without being saved. People are funny. And I've got to ask you tonight. You're not one of those funny people, are you? I hope not. I hope not. Every one of us ought to live our life for Jesus Christ. Yes, call Him Lord, Lord. But do the things that He says for us to do. Father, That's our message tonight. I thank you for faithful people. I thank you for people who believe the word and love the book and try to serve you. But never let us lose sight of the fact that there are people in our church that need help. They need teaching. They need instruction. Yes, they're peculiar. Yes, they're funny in some of their beliefs. Yes, they're wrong. But God, help us not to give up on them. Help us not to compromise with them. But help us to be consistent in our love and our life and our leadership, consistent in our service for God and our stand on the book. Use the message tonight to help us to determine that we're going to obey God. We're going to be the kind of Christian the Bible talks about. And we're never going to be so foolish to expect God to bless us while we're rebelling against His Word or compromising His Word. Help us to come to that place where we yield to Your will, that we yield to Your Word, that we say, Lord, Lord, and mean it, and practice that truth in our life. Have your way in this invitation in Jesus' name.